Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming this evening for our Krishna Fest, our celebration for those who are interested in things beyond the body and mind. Generally, you'll find that most people today try to satisfy themselves physically or mentally. Very few people can live their life beyond these two planes of physical or mental satisfaction. Most people hope that their life will be a series of mostly pleasing physical and mental stimulations. Most people accept that there'll be some problems in life. What are problems? Problems are negative physical and mental stimulations. So you expect a bit of that in your life, but on the whole, you hope that your physiology is going to feel good most of the time, and you hope that your mental state will be not too threatened. It'll be all right most of the time. That's everyone's ultimate expectation. We have a little air in here. So. Now, if our goal is not beyond our physiology and our mental states, we'll suffer from living a life with very low vision. And I guess you know that most people are prepared to live their life in that way, with very low vision. They don't have much expectation in terms of high-level things. Most people, they hope, as I said, there'll be some good things in store for my body. There'll be some good thoughts in store for my mind. And that's about it. And then, what do you hope for at the end of this sequence of stimulations called a lifetime? You can just look at your lifetime as a sequence of stimulations. What do you hope for at the end? Because whether we like it or not, that sequence of stimulations will end. So you hope that the end will come very gracefully and peacefully. Statistics show that most people hope that they will die in their sleep very peacefully. They'll go to sleep one night and then they won't wake up in the morning, and that'll be it. Graceful, peaceful exit, as far as they know. And statistics show that although most people want to go out in this way, snuffed out gently, like a candle light. Although most people want to go out this way, only 1 out of 10 go out in this way. So you can see that what happens in our life doesn't often match our expectations. Now, could there be more to our living besides physical and mental stimulations, regardless of how it's going to end, whether we go out peacefully in our sleep like everyone dreams to, or we don't? Still, is there something more beyond the sequence of physical and mental? Are we going to look for something more than that? Now please analyze the role of your friends and family around you. What contribution are they really making to your life? You'll find that generally most of them are interacting with you in terms of physiology, your body, and in terms of your mental states. Rare it is that you'll have any kind of friends or family who are pushing you to get something out of life beyond physical and mental stimulations. Most of our family and friends If we present to them that, oh, I've had just a wonderful day of physical and mental stimulation, they'll be very happy for you. Oh, good on you. I'm so glad that your life is a success. But if you tell your family and friends, you know, I really think there's got to be something more to life than just this sequence of mental and physical stimulation. How many of your family and friends are really going to support you in that endeavor? You see, the world of physical and mental stimulation has a false sense of attraction. I'm sure most of you have tried that world out. You've tried satisfying yourself with physical stimulation. You've tried satisfying yourself with mental stimulation. And you may not want to admit it to your family and friends, but to yourself, you're probably willing to admit there's just something hackneyed. There's something stale about the taste that I am getting from this physical and mental stuff. The body has its feelings. The feelings come and go. The mind has its thoughts. The thoughts come and go. Everything is so fleeting. Everything is so transitory. Is this the way my whole life is going to be? Perhaps you can see yourself in your old age, in your 60s, saying to yourself, I've had a very pleasing sequence of physical and mental stimulation. Now I'm ready to end my life and lay this bundle of bones down. An intelligent person can't be satisfied with that. An intelligent person thinks, I don't want temporary pleasure. I don't want a temporary life. I don't want temporary relationships. I want things that last. Because only when things last can I have real pleasure. It's amazing that if we look at ourselves, we'll find we have sealed off a part of ourselves to protect ourselves from the fact that material things are temporary. We don't really put our full self into life, consciously or unconsciously, because we know everything is temporary and I just can't put my full heart into it. It's not going to be around. How can I fully put my heart's energies into things that aren't going to be around? Most of you have had experience putting your heart into relationships. And maybe the first time, the second time, or the third time, you tried putting your heart completely into relationships. But as the experience accumulated, as the experiences accumulated, you began to realize relationships are so temporary. You got to have a few of them, but don't put your whole heart into them anymore. Save a part of yourself for when the relationship ends. Don't invest completely in the relationship. Save a bit of something for when the inevitable crash comes. This is how we try to steal ourselves. This is how we try to harden ourselves in order to cope with the temporariness of everything. And because everything is temporary, we don't get the satisfaction we're looking for. Therefore, we actually close off a part of our heart in order to survive. It's like we say to ourselves, okay, I know everything is transitory. I know everything is temporary when it comes to physical things and mental things. So I'm just going to keep a stiff upper lip, enjoy while I can, and watch out all the time for anything that might upset me. I know you can't be completely happy. I know you can't give of yourself completely. So I'll just watch out all the time while making guarded attempts to enjoy. And I'm not going to enjoy with everyone. I mean, if I meet the right person, then I may let myself go a bit. But not everybody. And I'll be watching that person also. That's the way it is in this world. Gotta watch everybody. Of course, you have to have some fun too. So under the influence of intoxication, you let yourself go from time to time. That's the wonderful purpose that intoxication serves. It loosens you up because you can't loosen up on your own. Why can't you loosen up on your own? Because you're on guard all the time. Therefore, intoxication is such an important part of life. It helps you to forget you're on guard. It helps you to forget that you've been used and exploited and disappointed. And when the intoxication is flowing through you, then you can let the good times roll. Now, if we're going to face life clearly, which most people don't want to do, we should see that an opportunity for enormous success lies in our getting beyond the physical and mental. That is what Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita are targeted for, to get us beyond the platform of physical and mental stimulation so that we can understand what actual pleasure is. But it's very hard to teach someone what is real pleasure when someone is so attached to the temporary world of physical and mental stimulation. You may notice that life today gives you a kind of pride. I know how to enjoy. I know what pleasure is. I've had some good times. Don't try to suggest that I haven't had my good times. I have. In this way, we have some kind of pride. I know what I'm doing. I know how to have a good time. I'll show you. The next weekend comes, I'll show you. Wait till the weekend, I'll show you. The fact is that if we don't know how to have a truly good time on the weekdays, we really don't know how to do on the weekends also. If we don't know how to have a good time during the day and the night, week in and week out, weekend or during the week, then we really don't know what pleasure is. The real pleasure that Lord Krishna speaks of in Bhagavad Gita is the pleasure of the spiritual energy, which is the superior energy. Because without the presence of the spiritual energy in the body doesn't work. What we call material existence is a combination of matter and spirit. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that matter is the inferior energy. It's lifeless. It's inert. But when matter is in contact with the superior energy, the living entity, then matter does things. This body, when it's in contact with the spirit soul, it becomes activated. It grows, it does things, it displays other life symptoms like decay. But when the spirit soul is not present in the body doesn't do anything. I don't think any one of you here has been attracted to bodies without the presence of the spirit soul. I don't think any of you here has, you know, gone searching for lifeless bodies in order to be attracted. The fact that you haven't done that shows that what really attracts you is the spirit soul, which causes the body to be animated. But who has seen the spirit soul? You're just seeing the effects of the presence of the spirit soul. When the spirit soul is present in the body, then the body does things. The body goes through what is known in Sanskrit as the Shadvikar, the six changes: birth, growth, maintaining a medium point for a while, producing offspring, and dwindling and death. Because of the presence of the spirit soul in the body, your body does these things. But as we said, without the presence of the spirit soul, the body doesn't do anything. But who has sought to actually develop relationships with the spirit soul in someone's body? No one knows how to do that. You may call the relationship spiritual. I really have a spiritual relationship with my partner. You may say that, but in reality, you clutch at the same old physical and mental stimulations like everybody else. How to actually connect with the spirit soul? You have to go through the supreme soul. That process is called Krishna consciousness. Through Krishna, the supreme consciousness, you can connect with everyone and everything. But because you are limited, you can't do that on your own. You can't do that unless you go to Krishna. If you try to relate to individuals as if they are separate from Krishna, it's a very frustrating experience. But if you try to relate to individuals by going through Krishna, by going through the complete whole, the supreme whole, in order to reach the parts, then you are successful. If you can catch this, you'll understand why so many of our relationships are frustrating affairs after a while. In the beginning, there's hope. Your body, your mind are going to do it for me. They're going to really captivate me. They're going to satisfy me. I'm going to satisfy your body and mind. I'll hook my physiology and psychology up to your physiology and psychology, and boom, it'll all happen from there. Zing go the strings of our hearts. But in the back of everyone's mind, even while they're in the midst of such affairs, they know something is missing. Is this really the relationship for me? Well, I've got nothing better to do, so I'll go on with it, but it must be something more. Everyone's always looking for something more. But what is that real something more that they should be looking for? That they don't know. The something more everyone needs is the spirit soul. Without the presence of the spirit soul in the body is lifeless. But who has seen the spirit soul? So what is the question of love in a relationship when you don't know the actual entity that you're trying to relate to? You just know the external packaging. What is the external packaging? The body and the mind. So you have two external packages trying to interact with each other. Both are ignorant of the contents of the packaging. Therefore, obviously, it's such interaction can only go on for a short time, some years before each one gives up. The fact that we do not understand the spirit soul means how can we sustain proper relationships? Without the spirit soul, the body is useless. Let us say someone has just died. Who can be a demonstration? You want to demonstrate, Julie? Okay, stand up. All right. Now, just see, she's walking. Walk. Okay, stop there. See, life, everyone agrees, she's alive, yes? Look at the audience. All right, she's alive. Now, you know that she's got physiology. You know that she's got psychology. You may not know her, but you can feel that she's got some kind of disposition. Okay. Now, she's dead. Okay, lay on the floor. Yeah. I don't know how people look when they die. I don't look like you're asleep. So lay on your back and just you're dead. Alright. Okay, that looks better. Okay. Okay, now she's dead. So you'll be crying, "She's gone! She's gone! Why did she have to go?" But what's gone? There's the body laying there. Why aren't you interested? All you know is the body. You don't know anything about spirit soul. So why are you saying she's gone? What is gone? There's the body right there. Now you're not attracted. What's missing? Well, I don't know. All I know is she's gone. Never have to be here again. Never will she laugh and dance and talk with us. She's gone. What's gone? The body's right there. It's still warm, but you're not attracted. Why? You don't know what's missing. That means you never knew the real her. All you were chasing was the physical and mental stimulations. You never knew the real her. And at the time of death, you admit that by saying, "She's gone. Never again will she be here to talk to us." So this shows the state of ignorance everyone lives in. Okay, you can come back to life. In our everyday talk, we actually admit that the person we really want is the spirit soul, but we've never seen. But we'll admit that the spirit soul has gone at the time of death. She's gone. She's passed on, they say. She passed away. What's passed away? The body is right there. Any of you men subscribe to magazines with pictures of dead women in? Any? Okay. You boast to your friends? Yeah, check out my latest Playboy magazine. Yeah, pictures, nice ladies. Doesn't matter, they're all dead. Just look. None of you do that. No, none of you have collections of pictures of dead women. That shows you something is important that we don't have any knowledge about. We don't have any knowledge of the spirit soul. Because of this great lack in our education, in our knowledge, in our culture, people are so frustrated. And they keep themselves so busy so they don't have to admit their frustration. I'm sure very few of you have gone to your family and friends and said, "You know, to tell you the truth, I'm completely frustrated." No, you don't do those kind of things. Your family and friends ask you, "How you going?" "Oh, yeah, it's all right, you know, yeah. Yeah, it's all happening, you know." Right? "Yeah, kind of good, you know, yeah. How about you?" Got to shoot something witty back, you know. "How are you? You know, what about you?" I remember growing up in New York, man. If you really wanted to be cool, someone asked, "How you doing?" You say, "Oh, nothing happening but the rent." Yeah, just paying the rent, yeah. If you were cool, you'd say something like that. "Nothing's happening but the rent." Just paying the rent, you know. It takes a very courageous person to admit, there's some basic problems in life that are causing my frustration. Therefore, I drive myself to be intoxicated, and I drive myself from one relationship to another, trying to escape this deep underlying frustration and ignorance. It takes a very honest person to admit that. Most people are satisfied. All right, so what if we don't know? So what if we're frustrated? Everybody else is. As long as everybody else is, it's okay. Maybe I'll go traveling overseas. Maybe I'll dream of buying a little land in the Wairarapa. Maybe I'll buy a bicycle built for two. Something, you know, idiosyncratic. Very few persons want to admit, I don't know what to do with life. I don't even know what is life. I don't know what is life. Where are you going to find information as to what is life? Are you just a bag of chemicals? Is that all? What we are hungry for is knowledge of the spirit soul. Knowledge of the individual spirit soul means knowledge of Krishna, the supreme soul. You cannot understand the individual spirit soul without understanding the supreme soul. You need to know about the whole in order to understand the part. Therefore, self-realization and Krishna consciousness go hand in hand. Just like when the sun rises in the morning, you see yourself and everything around you. So when the Krishna sun rises in your life, you understand what the self is by the light coming from the supreme self. So this is the direction that our life should be moving in. But to understand Krishna, the supreme self, requires purified senses. As long as our senses are absorbed in physical and mental gratification, we won't have the clarity enough to understand the science of the Supreme. That means each of us as an individual has to decide, what do I really want in life? And how much am I willing to pay for it? If I want to understand the science of the Supreme, am I willing to pay by purifying my existence, by distilling my consciousness? You cannot live absorbed in physical and mental stimulation and then get insight into what is the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Not possible. There's a verse in the ancient Vedic text of India, Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains that only two kinds of persons can be happy in this world. Everyone else in between suffers. One kind of person that can supposedly be happy is the complete fool, who doesn't think about anything deeply. Just, you know, let the good times roll. Give me more beer. Give me more ecstasy. The more blind I am, the happier I'll be. You might have had the experience. It's like one of our regulars here was telling us how he's flatting with some other young persons, and one morning he woke up and he had to go to the bathroom, but he couldn't make it to the bathroom because he had to walk through his living room, and his whole living room was littered with his friends crashed out from a, you know, all night partying. They were just, you know, strewn all over the floor so thickly that he couldn't, you know, get to his own bathroom. He had to go outside in the street. So that's one category of so-called happiness. Where you're just literally blind. You're just stoned. You're wasted. Sure, you've heard people boast sometimes, "Oh, last weekend I was wasted completely. I was out of it. I was blind." As if people, on the one hand, are admitting they're squandering their life, wasting their life, but there's a kind of perverse pleasure in it. "I was wasted. I was blind, completely stoned, out of it. Oh, wow." So that's one category of person who can be happy. Of course, the happiness is very low grade and animal-like. Then there's the other kind of person who can be happy. That's the complete transcendentalist. The person who is completely experienced in understanding the spiritual science of the individual soul and the supreme soul. That kind of person is truly happy because he or she doesn't seek pleasure on the material plane. He or she seeks pleasure in the relationship between the individual soul and the supreme soul, Krishna. Krishna means the unlimited, all-attractive reservoir of pleasure. Real pleasure has no beginning and end, and Krishna is unlimitedly full of that real pleasure that has no beginning or end. Okay, that's the other kind of person who can be happy. Now you'll probably say, "Well, I'm neither. I'm not like the gross party animal, you know, the kind who just day after day crashes out on the floor and, you know, completely stoned." And I'm sure you've heard examples of persons, not you all, of course, but persons who, you know, go to a party and meet someone, and they wake up in the morning next to somebody and can't understand how, you know, "Hey, where did you come from?" I know no one here is like that, but I'm sure you've heard of such things. So you would say, "Oh, I can't be that out of it. No, I just can't do that." So that's one extreme. And then you'll say, "Well, the other extreme also I can't do." You know, the completely spiritually experienced person who's above the material illusion. "No, that's not me either," you'd say. So in between lie most of the people. And in between is the anxiety and suffering. If you're on the animal-like side, the party animal side, then you're too stoned to worry about how you feel. And if you're on the completely spiritually experienced side, then you're beyond the material illusion. So, but most are in between, and therefore they suffer. They're neither complete animals, nor are they complete transcendentalists, complete Krishna conscious persons. So they have anxiety. "Oh, what will become of me? Am I really happy?" Those people in the middle need to make progress. The animal-like people, there's not much you can do for them. The difference between them and the animals is the animals have four legs and they have two legs. That's the only difference. There's not much you can do. If you know anyone like that, you understand there's not much that can be done. They just want to grunt, not think, and just dull their brains as much as possible. For them, life should be a non-stop trance dance, which they never come down. And then one day they just collapse in a heap, and that's death. And as I said, most people aren't the full-on, fully developed Krishna conscious person, completely understanding what is matter, what is spirit, what is the individual soul, what is the supreme soul. Most people aren't in that category either. So there's this big group in the center that's full of anxiety. You can't be a complete animal, and you can't be a complete spiritualist. So you suffer. Those persons need to make progress. Hopefully they're not going to go the other way, the animal direction. That means they've got to progress towards the spiritual side. So Krishna consciousness is for those kind of persons. Those kind of persons who seek an identity for themselves beyond the web of physiology and psychology. They're seeking their spiritual identity, and they're seeking the supreme spiritual identity, Krishna. Alright, might there be any questions? Yes, it is a bit to think about. I know you're all thinking persons. Don't be afraid to challenge yourself. What am I doing here in this world anyway? And who am I anyway? You don't have to do it here, but when you go home, go find a mirror in your house or your flat and just stand before it and just ask the question, well, what am I doing here anyway? And who am I anyway? Who is this person in the mirror? Am I the body? Am I the mind? Am I something else? Try it. You don't have to do it here. In the privacy of your own home, you can do it. Just look at that image in the mirror. Is this really me? And then ask yourself, what is my happiness? Can you name any happiness for yourself that's not in the realm of physiology and psychology, body and mind? Can you name any happiness? Can look at your skin in the mirror. Oh, I want my skin to feel good. You can't see your mind, but you can feel with your mind. I want my mind to have pleasing stimulations. I want my mind to be free from anxiety. But who is the possessor of the body and mind? No one knows. Then while you're looking at yourself in the mirror, see yourself as a very old person. And think what might be going through your mind then. Think what your mentality will be like as a very elderly person. In this way, try to get some deeper insight into life. Don't be afraid to challenge yourself. Krishna consciousness is for the most intelligent persons. That is to say, the highest pleasure is for the most intelligent persons. My advice to you is, do not lower yourself to a life of the lower pleasures. Always be going higher. Seek higher. Don't be afraid. Seek the highest pleasure beyond physiology and psychology. Seek the highest pleasure beyond mere physical and mental stimulations. If you keep the right company, if you have the right kind of associates, it's easy to achieve those goals. But I agree, in the wrong kind of association, with the wrong associates, it's very difficult, because your friends and relatives will be dragging you down. So, no one has any questions about anything? Next, we're going to be chanting Hare Krishna. The Hare Krishna mantra illuminates the darkness of ignorance and illusion with pure spiritual understanding of the individual soul and the supreme soul, Krishna. Through sound, you wake up, just like when you're fast asleep. The alarm rings. Because of the sound, you wake up in the morning and you remember your duties. Oh, time for me to wake up and go to work or go to school. By hearing the sound, the wake-up sound, you remember your duties. Similarly, by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, the alarm bell of the Hare Krishna mantra, you wake up from your material illusion and you remember your spiritual duties, your spiritual pleasures. You remember all that because of the right sound going in your ear. So we'll chant the Hare Krishna mantra. We have someone who's going to lead the chanting tonight. I hope you all will think about what we've discussed. Process it in your own way. And gradually, I hope that some of you will take steps to push your life in a different direction. I know it'll take some courage, but it's well worth it. Without some courage, there can't be any change. And certainly, we don't want to spend our life being trapped on a low level, growing old uselessly, dying uselessly. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I was constantly thinking, I don't want to die with regrets. I don't want to be 60 or 70 and think, if I only had done something else, if I only had pursued higher pleasure instead of going after the usual low-grade pleasures that people are attached to. If I only had done that, now I'm 60, now I'm 70. It's too late. When I was in my early 20s, I was thinking, oh, I don't want to die with regrets. I've got to figure it out now. If there is real pleasure, I've got to figure it out now. So I'm sure that some of you have that kind of conviction. Or maybe you don't, but by continually coming here, you will develop that conviction through good association. Anyway, whether you have that conviction or not, if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, the spiritual intelligence will develop.